The Michigan Department of Civil Rights is calling for a review of an apparent murder dating back to 1970. The incident, still unsolved, took the life of one of the department's own, its first executive director. Burton Gordon became the first person to lead the then-new Michigan Department of Civil Rights in 1964. Authorities say he died after being shot several times in a downtown Detroit parking structure, an apparent robbery gone wrong. Over the years, the case had gone cold, but our next guest, who is the department's new executive director, is calling on the Michigan State Police to review the case, to talk with us about the Burton Gordon cold case and about his new role at the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. We welcome Director Matt Wiesaw. Welcome to Current State, Matt.
Thank you, Mark. Glad to be here.
Congratulations on your appointment.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit more about Burton Gordon and his early years at the DCR.
Well, as you indicated, Mr. Gordon was the first director of the Department of Civil Rights. He had come from Philadelphia. The commission at that time had done a nationwide search. Mr. Gordon was the executive director of one of the very first civil rights commissions in Pennsylvania. He came over, offices in Detroit, was doing an excellent job in that he was very dedicated to equal protection, equal access for all peoples. Unfortunate incident at the end of one of his days, he walked to his parked car and was unfortunately killed. The homicide remains unsolved to this day. There was a variety, as I understand by reading news reviews, a variety of different motives, but a true motive is not known. It appears that suspects had not been developed, and the case is actually being investigated by the Detroit Police Department.
Oh, okay.
Michigan State Police assisted with some out-of-the-air interviews, again, as I understand, but it is a Detroit Police Department investigation. And I have been in conversation with both the chief and the deputy chief, and I do hope to meet with them after the holidays to ask them to review the case to see if it might meet their criteria for a cold case for another review.
Mr. Gordon was shot March 20th, 1970. What would you ask the authorities to do here then exactly? What's involved in reviewing a case like this?
Well, depending on the evidence that was collected 43 years ago, and with today's new technology, you may or may not know this, but I did a career in the state police. I did 26 years.
Right.
So the evidence, homicide cases are never closed. Until a conviction or a clearance is made where they just have no suspects. So they remain open. There is no statute of limitations. So I would ask if they felt, based on their criteria, and I don't really know what that is, that there was sufficient evidence collected that through the new technology today, they might be able to determine a suspect. Mm. For example, DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, DNA was not considered. If they had some type of DNA evidence that they had preserved, that could be useful today. If there was a database that matched, they would have a place to start.
Mm. Are you holding out real hope to learn something constructive, or do you feel this is more symbolic? Is this more a reminder to the public of the role Burton Gordon played?
No, I think there's real hope. Again, based on today's technology, the thorough investigation that I'm sure was completed back 40 years ago. It was, like I said, Detroit Police Department, Michigan State Police assisted, and as I read in the newspaper, the Michigan Attorney General's Office assisted. So I think there probably are things there that they could look at and, develop different angles to consider, maybe conduct some additional interviews.
Given all your years in the state police, is it easy to assume this was a robbery gone wrong, or
that would be? I have not looked at the police report. Being an open investigation, that's not a public document, so I really wouldn't have any kind of an opinion if it was robbery or politically motivated or even racially motivated.
I'm curious. Do you know what Mr. Gordon's descendants think of your suggestion? Are they aware of what you want to do here?
I have not talked with any of the family members. I believe the incoming chair of our commission, I think there is a son still residing in Michigan, and I think we want to be very respectful of his feelings. So I don't know what the conversation has been with him, because I've not talked to him.
As you pointed out, you're a former state police officer yourself, and
yes,
you're the former tribal chairman is it the Pokagon, I beg your pardon.
That's
Pokagon,
okay.
Band of Potawatomi Indians. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. How long were you a police officer?
I was an enlisted police officer for 26 years. And upon my retirement, I then spent 7 years working for the Troopers Association as their director of government relations. Retired from that again about 2008, and at that point was the chair of the Pokagon Band.
And how long were your tribal chair?
Up until October 28th when I took this job.
Okay. And how did your appointment to the Civil Rights Department unfold exactly?
During their second search for an executive director, I received a couple of phone calls. I had been on the commission 8 years previous. I had been gone for about a year, asking if I was interested in the position. They had talked about some of the issues that they had seen and felt, because I knew several of the current commissioners, that I might have the skill set to help get morale in the department back up. We've got some pretty bad morale through the state surveys.
Why is that?
Well, the department has was without a director for about 8 months. We had some communication issues, from what I understand. Just my opinion now, in traveling the state to all of our offices and in talking with staff, I don't think that our staff really felt that their opinions and their voice was being heard or being considered. And we are a very small department. We should be family, and I'm making sure that everybody realizes their comments, their concerns, their ideas will be heard by the leadership of this department.
Our guest here on Current State is Matt Wiesaw, who is the new executive director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. Matt, there's an effort in the Lansing area among local governments to recognize the rights of the area's lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender residents. Do you support that effort?
Yes. Yes, okay. Support that. The commission has been on record for probably 30 years of adding an amendment to the Elliott-Larsen Act to protect free access for the LGBT community. Absolutely.
Now, you told Tim Skubick recently that you support the larger goals of the state Civil Rights Commission, but he wrote that you were hesitant to confirm whether you're personally supportive of gay marriage. Can you clarify that?
No, actually, Mark, I thought that was pretty clear. My comment to Tim was my personal feelings on that particular topic are not important. I'm not going to lead this department based on my personal feelings. I will follow the direction of the commission. And like I explained to Tim, the commission has been, you know, on record for 30 years supporting protections for the gay, lesbian, transgender community in the Elliott-Larsen Act. We will continue to do that.
Now, there's an ongoing debate over Indian mascots for schools and sports teams. I have to ask you about that.
Sure. Happy to talk about that one. The department did, I believe, excellent research in Native imagery, not the mascot, but Native imagery, in respect to hostile learning environments for children in the elementary schools. That's what the investigation, their research was on. That's what the complaint was filed on. I think the research was spot on. If I would have been there, I think we would have handled it just a little bit differently. There would have been a little more communication. And quite honestly, in talking with the other tribal leaders on this topic, this really is an issue that the tribe should take the lead on. I appreciate what the department did. The research is fabulous. But I think it's the tribe's responsibility, because you have a very unique situation in this state where many of the tribes have worked with the schools in their areas and have designed or approved the imagery.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, in our service area, in the southwest corner of the state, my aunt was in the group that named the Hartford Indians. We had a council person.
The Hartford?
Hartford. Hartford Indians.
Okay.
We had council people work on the design for the Dowagiac chieftains. And we also had a tribal citizen who worked on the design for the Pawpaw Redskins. So that created a lot of conversation in our community. Now, personally, I don't think there's too much debate that the Redskins, that name needs to go. That is derogatory. There's nothing honorable about that term. The other ones, quite honestly, I think they're decisions that individual tribal leaders, tribal governments have to make with consultation with the communities that they're in.
Are you suggesting that there's a variety of opinion among tribal governments with regard to these issues?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No question.
Does that break down along age lines? Do you have any insight into that?
Yes and no. It depends on the community and how involved they were. It does break down because in the cases that I just referred to with respect to our community, those were some more senior folks that were involved in that. The issue that we really need to look at, while we value our relationships with the communities, we have to look at the research and pay particular attention to the validated comments that the native imagery does create hostile learning environments for the young people. And, you know, our future is kids mm-hmm. across the board. That's very important. And I think there's a responsibility on behalf of the tribes to really take a serious look at that, we are.
It's interesting to watch this because locally you see all kinds of communities that grow very attached to the imagery attached to their schools and their sports teams, and they really go into defensive mode on these things. It's a fascinating topic.
Yep.
It's been quite a year for the Department of Civil Rights in Michigan. I know you launched an effort to visit all the different parts of the state with your personnel here on the anniversary of the Michigan Civil Rights
50
Department.
Years.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You put in a lot of miles since October?
Members of the staff have put in a lot of miles.
Okay.
My miles have actually gone down quite a bit. I live in this area, have for 30 years, and I drove every day back to Dowagiac. So my round trip to my previous office was 250 miles.
Mm.
Now I drive 15 round trip. So my miles have been reduced quite a bit.
Okay.
But the 50 city tour was a great initiative that was started before I got on board.
Michigan had one of the most progressive approaches to civil rights.
Yes.
Here, the Civil Rights Commission back in 1963, part of the new state constitution. So real cutting edge in that respect.
Yeah, we still are the only state that has the Civil Rights Commission in the Constitution.
Okay. Well, we appreciate your time here today. Matt Wiesaw is the recently appointed director of the Michigan Department of Civil Rights. Matt, good luck.
Thank you, Mark.